The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
So what are we supposed to do in a nation that increasingly rejects Christ and his truth? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do in a nation that increasingly rejects Jesus and his truth? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. If you're a Christian listening to the sound of my voice today, what are we supposed to do? When we look around and we see this culture on fire, what are we supposed to do? Just sit back, take in nice, pleasant Bible teachings, go to church on Sunday, meet in our life groups, raise our families, have children, and die? And go to heaven? I mean, is that it? Is that the call of the Christian? There's some interesting numbers that have been published lately on Christianity. The good news is this. There are 2.3 billion Christians in the world currently. By 2025, there'll be 2.6 billion, and by 2050, there'll be 3.3 billion. So on a global scale, Christianity is spreading like wildfire. But as we know in the Western world, and especially in America, we are seeing a decrease in the influence of Christianity and those who claim to be Christians. Nominal or cultural Christians, what I call Christians in name only, make up 25% of the culture. And many of those, that 25%, will become what they call religious nuns, N-O-N-E-S, religious nuns. That means they don't believe in any religion. Religious nuns, those who have no religious preference at all, who check the box, none of the above when asked about religion, comprised 16% of the culture in 2007, but now in 2016 now comprised 23% of the culture. So we are seeing an increase of the religious nuns. We are seeing nominal or cultural Christians in name only, occupying almost half of the American culture. And what I call convictional Christians, those who believe in Scripture, believe that in the inerrancy of Scripture, believe that Christ is the only way to God, they're on the decline in this country. Not across the world, but they are on decline. So the question is this: what do we do in a nation that rejects Christ and his truth, that is increasingly doing that? I believe we need to be courageous. That means we need to even be increasingly more bold in our proclamation of the truth.
Courage. What makes a king out of a slave? Courage. What makes the flag on the mast to wave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty mist or the dusky dusk? What makes the muskrat guard his musk? What makes the Sphinx the seventh wonder? Courage. What makes the dawn come up like thunder? Courage. What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in apron cups? What have they got that I ain't got?
Courage. You could say that again.
So I guess the question is, are you like the cowardly lion when it comes to courage? What do they got that I ain't got, he said. What do they got that I ain't got? Courage. We need men and women of courage to stand up in this day and age. An age that increasingly is rejecting Christ and his truth. We don't need to cower. We don't need to backpedal. We don't need to retreat to our stained glass fortresses. It's time to step forward and be courageous. But what is the definition of courage? People ask, you know, what is courage? Courage, you know, most people think it's just like being fearless. That's not actually the truth. It's not the absence of fear. It's the ability to do what's right in spite of your fear. Everyone that's ever done a courageous act had fear. They were afraid. Right? But they did the right thing in spite of it. That's the idea of having strength in the face of your pain or grief in order to do the right thing. Synonyms like bravery, courageousness, valor, fearlessness, nerve, daring, audacity, boldness, grit, heroism, gallantry, guts, spunk, moxie, cojones. That's courage. And the opposite of courage is fear. And the definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous. We all experience fear, but fear can motivate us to back off and cower, or it can motivate us to step into the fear and depend on Jesus to get us through that situation. Why do I bring this up? Because most recently I've had to face some pretty hard challenges in our ministry. We are being sued for the first time by a multi-billion dollar S&P 500 company, international global company called Stericycle. And they are asking for damages of $200,000. Well, as you can imagine, I don't have that. And if this goes to trial, it'll be over, it could be in upwards of $1 million, plus court costs and legal fees. Well, when I look at that, I think, geez, you know, I knew we were heading into something when we took on this company that is the one that disposes of the medical waste, so-called, that is, the aborted babies and the instruments to kill babies. They throw them in landfills for Planned Parenthood and the abortion cartel. And I knew when we were taking on them, we were taking on a Goliath. And I did some things to prep. You know, I made sure my house was secure, my family. I knew that, you know, there's some things we needed to be clear about as far as our own personal security goes. But really what I needed to do was prepare myself spiritually. I really didn't realize that we'd be sued, although I should have figured that would probably be one of the possibilities. But, you know, if we lose, it'll take everything I have, which is very little, and our ministry will be done. But it was the right thing to do. We need to prepare for the days in which we live, like the men of Issachar who knew what Israel should do because they understood the times. We need to be men and women of courage. In Acts chapter 5, verse 27 through 29, talks about the apostles who were just thrown into prison, and an angel opened up the gates and told them to go out and preach the gospel, saying, quote, "Go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life." And when they're talking about the whole message of life, that means the entire Bible, not the parts that tickle your ear. And they were recaptured and taken to the council and brought before them. And it says that Jamil was convinced not to kill the apostles because he was afraid that they would not be overthrown. So they flogged them and told them to speak no more in the name of Jesus. And it says the apostles went away rejoicing for being worthy to suffer shame. And they kept on preaching. And the lessons I take from that passage is this. And this is where the application comes for you, a listener of your radio activist. In a culture that continues to reject Christ and his truth, continues and increasingly, it's more and more difficult to stand in this age. There are basically three things I can take from that story, and that is this. First of all, are you suffering shame for his name? Are you suffering shame? Now, think about those words. Suffering shame. We think about shame when you're doing something wrong, that you should be shamed for it. Shame is a motivation to do, you know, to repent. When we do something wrong, we feel shame. We want to do something about it. So we ask for forgiveness. We come clean, right? But in this context, they're not talking about suffering shame for something they did wrong. They're talking about suffering shame for doing something right. And that is continuing to preach the gospel, continuing to speak on behalf of Jesus. Are you willing to suffer shame? In other words, at the lowest level of suffering shame, are you willing to lose your reputation, that's your standing amongst other men and women, for the sake of Jesus Christ? Are you? Are you willing to incur emotional, psychological, and even physical suffering for the cross? Because that's what it's going to take. If we're going to reach this culture for Jesus, if we're going to see people saved and disciple them along the way to be Christ followers and change the culture, we need to be willing to suffer emotional, psychological, and even physical persecution. I know in America it's unlikely that you're going to find that happening, at least on the physical end of things, and we don't see people getting tortured for Christ in America physically. But do you have sleepless nights? Do you carry the scars of Jesus with you, your burdens? That's the question. That's the question. And secondly, are you rejoicing in that persecution? It says here that the disciples rejoiced for being worthy of suffering shame. They were happy. They were glad. They were celebrating that they were privileged to be counted as one who followed Jesus, and they bore his scars along with him. Do you invite persecution? Do you see it as a privilege? Or are you risk averse? Are you always afraid of what might people think or might happen to you? Your money, your position, your job, your children, your wife. Are you always protecting everything you do? Do you hold on to things tightly, or is your hand open to what God might have for you? See, folks, it's more than just getting married, having children, and dying. That's not what the American dream's about. It's about a vision for changing the culture for Jesus. And we need more and more people willing to do it. We need to be effective ambassadors in an age of diversity, and that's what we're finding. As our nation continues to reject Christ and his truth, it's going to be costing us more to follow him. And we need people to step forward and be bold ambassadors for the Lord. On the other side, I'm going to continue talking about that. You're listening to your radio activist and voice of resistance here on the Mark Harrington Show. Stick around.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Lila Rose of Live Action.
I just wanted to say that I stand 100% with the efforts of Created Equal, with getting the truth visually out to students on campuses and inspiring them and equipping them to have that debate with fellow students, to encourage them to really question their support for abortion and encourage them ultimately to see the humanity of the unborn child, the violence of abortion, and ultimately to join our side, which is the winning side, the side of life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
Hey!
because I won't back down, and I hope you won't either. I think you do.
I got just one
You got one life to live.
In a world that keeps on pushing
trying to push you around. It ain't good.
You
gotta stand your ground in an age of adversity here in a nation that continues to increasingly reject Christ and his truth. We're talking about what we should be doing. And I was talking about how the apostles considered it a privilege, and they rejoiced in the persecution they found, and they were willing to suffer shame. Additionally, they were undeterred. If you look at this verse in Acts chapter 5, verse 38 through 42, despite being flogged, despite being imprisoned, they kept on preaching. They kept on preaching. They were undeterred in their focus, their vision to go forward and preach the gospel to the nations. They were disciplined warriors, folks. See, that's what we need. We become soft. We become soft, kind of flabby. We're never challenged to the degree that the apostles were, and we need to be. Who wants to live a life and just kind of get along, go along, and, you know, you got your fire insurance, and when you die, you go to see Jesus? What good is that? I guess it's good that you're saved, but, I mean, isn't it better to put it all on the line and risk it? That's what the mighty men of David did. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 8, it talks about the mighty men of David, which, by the way, weren't all that mighty all the time. It says they were in debt, in distress, and discontent when they're in the caves. But it says, from the Gadites, there came over to David in the stronghold in the wilderness, mighty men of valor. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 8. Men trained for war, who could handle shield and spear, and whose faces were like the faces of lions, and they were as swift as gazelles on the mountains. Let me ask you this. Does that characterize American Christianity today? Does that characterize your walk with God? Well, it should. Are you a mighty man or woman of valor? Are you trained for war? Think about that, trained for war. Think of our fighting men and women in the armed forces of the United States military. Boot camp. Day in, day out. Training. Learning how to fight. That's what they do. It says here in 1 Chronicles 12:8 that they were men and women who could handle shield and spear. Now think about that. A warrior has a shield and a spear. Why does he have a shield? Well, he's got a shield for a defense, right? And the spear is to attack. So we should do both. We need to defend ourselves and our faith and the foundations of Christianity, right? But we need a spear. We need to be attacking the enemy. The evolutionists, the atheists, those who are the God haters out there that are tearing our culture into shreds before our eyes. We need to be battling them. And it says here that their faces were like faces of lions, and they were swift as gazelles. They were in good shape, physically too. Swift as a gazelle, they were quick on their feet, able to react and move swiftly. Do you trust God? Are you setting your face like flint towards the goal of your life, which is to be an ambassador for Christ? That doesn't just mean personal relationship evangelism, although that's good. It means taking a stand. It means defending the weak, the orphan, the widow. Are you like an athlete? Are you training yourself to be someone who can fight in the public square, who can speak out on behalf of Christ and his word? And do you have enemies, people that hate you because of your position? If you don't, then you better reexamine your walk with God. Are you prepared to lose it all if necessary for the gospel. That's what we're trying to do at Created Equal. And I'm not sitting here beating my chest and saying that we are, you know, the only ones and you need to come to us because we're the courageous folks. But we're trying to do what we can. We've been given some resources. We've been given a vision on how to impact the culture for Jesus. And we're willing to be bold. We're willing to take, you know, take the cost. We're willing to pay the price if necessary. And each time we do, we become more strength and more strong. And we're strengthened in our mission. And here's what we do. And folks, here's where you can help us. I know that we all have different aspects and things that we want to do in our Christian walk. And I'm not saying everybody needs to do what we do. But we certainly need more folks defending the sanctity of human life, which is at the foundation of what we believe as Christians, that we're created in the image of God. And it is a foundational principle of our nation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among them are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The right to life was first and foremost for a reason. You lose that right, culture disintegrates, nations fall. So we're on a rescue mission. We're on a rescue mission. And here's where we go to rescue children. We go to the abortion centers of our cities. There are two of them in the city of Columbus, and I can tell you this. On any given day, there are people there. Not many, but there are people there. There are over 1,000 churches in the greater Columbus area, and yet on any given day at these two abortion centers, you might find two or three people. That is an absolute travesty. It's a travesty. Why is it? We know where the Auschwitz is. We know where the Dachau is. We know where the Birkenau is, Bergen-Belsen. We know where they are, right? We know babies are being butchered in our own cities. We got 1,000 churches in our cities, or in the city. And yet we have two or three or four people out every single day trying to rescue those being led away to death. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Folks, please help. Come. Join us. Stand with the sign. Counsel women. Plead for their lives. Plead for the children. We need you. Go to createdequal.org. We're not the only ones. We need you. createdequal.org. Fill out the form and say, Mark, yes, I'd like to join you. You know, it's not the most popular ministry, but as I've been speaking, hopefully that's not what you're looking for. Because what's popular is usually not very effective, frankly. So if you want to make a difference, join us. createdequal.org. Fill out the form. Let us know you want to be on the front lines, going to the abortion centers in our cities. And also we reach out to high school students on high school, and we also go to college campuses as well. And finally this. We need to be a prophetic outreach to power, a prophetic voice to power. If you're looking at our politics, you understand that we are in tough straits right now. We're losing the political battles. We, Christians, I guess, generally, are in the political wilderness now. If anything, this election tells us that we've lost the vision that was once the American experiment. And we've got to de-emphasize politics as a means of change. But we need to use politics as a platform to be a prophetic voice to power. And we're going to do that at the Republican National Convention. We're loading up vans. And folks, we're not going to go when the chaos is happening. We're going to go a week before. Not because we're afraid of the chaos or the riots or the whatever's going to happen. It's because we're smart and savvy. The week before is when they decide the rules and the plank for the platform. And it gives us that opportunity to raise our voice for the preborn. Go to our website, createdequal.org. You can listen to this radio broadcast 24/7. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America.
to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net. createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to the Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.